John Bird, are you enjoying those cheese sticks?
Yes, they're delicious. This is Pepper Jack.
You've been eating those for like 30 minutes now.
I forgot to eat last night, believe it or not, and I haven't eaten today.
I would say who forgets to eat, but Tony Gump has done that a time or two.
There's been a time or two. How's everybody doing?
It's just You get caught up in project. You're the type of guy that will get hyper-focused on something, and Tony will be completely locked in and forget to eat, forget to sleep, all of it. So,
totally. Yeah, it's happened to me. I've forgotten to eat the entire day, you know.
So we've got a big day today, New Hampshire primary, and I know this is going to be time-sensitive for a lot of people. That are going back and watching this. But if you are watching this within the time frame, tonight we'll be going live and covering the New Hampshire primaries live. So make sure you subscribe and like the video, comment. You guys, I got to say, our listeners or our viewers have done a phenomenal job in commenting and liking, and that helps us out so much. By putting us in the algorithm and making sure people that don't know anything about this podcast see us.
Exactly.
I am trying to put, and Tony's been helping me with this, put together business cards that we can start handing out, but I keep forgetting. We want to make a QR code.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
For the YouTube. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how to do it. I mean, I'm sure there's a simple explanation. Is it just a website to make a QR code?
Have you ever Googled exactly what you want to do?
I don't know. I say, let's do it now. This is how we learn everything else. We just Google it.
So Google how to make a QR code?
Yes. Yeah. Do it right now.
Okay.
Learn well, as we go.
Let's do this while John Bird scarfs down his cheese sticks.
By the way, there's a certain way you should eat them. Tiny bites around the corner. Like this.
These people have not seen you eat a Twix bar, and I wish they could. I wish we had one.
I'll bring one next time.
Please do, because you eat a Twix like a psychopath.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do. You eat it like ribs. Tony, he holds a Twix bar, and he will sit there and eat it like a rib, and so all the chocolate on the outside is gone. He'll eat the cookie caramel bar.
It's creativity. I'm a creative person. Plus, it's a challenge. It's a challenge. It's a real challenge to bite the cookie off of the chocolate, you know, because if you're not careful, you'll leave some cookie on there. So your teeth have to be at just the right place to break that cookie away.
It's a challenge to watch you eat it. That's where the challenge is.
Really?
It's very bothersome.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm sorry. I'm going to. You know what? I'm going to continue to do it.
I know you are. I know you are. All right. So make a QR code, baby. QR code maker. That's the way to go. A QR code maker. Make your own QR codes today. Fast, easy, and customizable. All right. So let's hit this. Is there a YouTube? Yeah, YouTube down there, bottom left. Hit that. And enter the name. That'll work. And then I guess go to our YouTube channel, go to the actual channel page, and just copy the URL and put it there.
Okay. Oh, cool. We're going to make it like right now.
Yeah, we're going to make it right now. Okay. And then as a test, the people that are watching this video are going to pull out their phones, and they're going to scan it and see if it works.
That's genius.
I know.
And I'm pulling
technology
up
is
here.
Incredible.
Okay, how do I do this?
Up top, view your channel.
Okay, I got
and
you.
Now just pull that URL. That should be it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think that should be it. Enter there. Upload video. Let's say upload video. What is the video?
Send invalid link.
Oh, is it saying it wants to QR code a video and not a channel?
Oh, no. That's not acceptable.
Okay.
It did not. Yeah, so go back. See if there's a way to do a YouTube channel. Because, I mean, we could obviously pick a random video, but I'd rather take them to the channel. Okay. Yeah, go back to that site, but go there and see if there's a social media,
this is a
maybe
video
links, maybe links. Basic information.
I don't even see. I don't see YouTube on there or nothing like
that.
It
still says upload your image.
Well, maybe it puts it like in the middle. We could put it over the line logo. Anyway, we'll figure it out. We don't have to do that right now. I was just wondering. It looks like it's easy to do. So maybe that's something we can do tonight. I just really want to get these business cards done because I always feel like we end up in situations where I'm like, oh, we could be handing out business cards right now. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's so many people out there that would enjoy the podcast if they knew about it. It was like yesterday I'm at court, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they start off, I got jury duty for those of you that don't know. And I was anxious about it. I dreaded it all week last week. So when you get to jury duty, they have you come in and you turn in your summons is what they call it. You turn in your summons and they say, go have a seat. And then they come out and they explain all these things, what's going on. So this judge, I guess the main judge, comes out and starts explaining like kind of how everything works. Mm-hmm. And then starts talking about, yeah, we're going to give you a voucher for parking. Unless you're parked over here where Andrew McClain parked, then we don't have vouchers for that. So that cost me $10. And that was just till lunchtime when I had to go move my car to the other deck that I was going to get a voucher for. But anyway, so they're going through the whole thing, and then she starts explaining. But the good news is that the county, the state of Alabama, is going to pay you $25 a day for jury duty.
And Sign me up.
We all kind of looked at each other like, what? She goes, that's good news because up until a couple years ago, it was only $10 a day. And I'm like, well, up until a couple years ago, $25 was worth $25.
Yeah.
Now $25 is worth about $5. So technically, it's actually a cut. But anyway, I get what she was doing. It's whatever, you know. It's a lot of money for them to have to give every single person there $25 a day.
Right. Yeah.
But nonetheless, we got through that whole process, and we're sitting there, and there's a guy beside me, and I think his name was Tim or Ken or Jim or maybe it was Randall. I don't know. It was something. And I just kind of leaned over and I was like, hey, I hope we get out of here. He's like, yeah. No, here's what happened. So they call a line up and they say, all right, if you've got a legitimate excuse to not be here today, come let me know and we'll decide if you stay or have to go. He's like, but it can't be this excuse. And he puts out every excuse there is, except for like you're literally having a medical emergency. So he says, so don't a bunch of people come up here because you're probably not. Half the room gets up when he says line up, and they all line up, and they're all giving excuses, and he's sending one after another back to their seat. Well, the one guy beside me went up there, and I asked him, hey, what happened? He's like, well, I'm in school, and I got this test or something, but he wouldn't let me loose. And I was like, oh, that sucks. And somehow it came up, and he found out that I was on the radio. I was probably talking about myself, which I do a lot. And it turns out he's a listener.
Yes.
He's been listening to 99.5 for years. And so that was cool. That would have been an opportunity for me to give a business card.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't have one. Same thing when they called me into my jury deal. It was, there was a group of like 35 people. A couple of those guys were listeners. Because when I stood up and I had to say my name, they're like, ah!
Oh man, they didn't that say hey now.
That would have been funny. It would have been inappropriate because we were in the courtroom. Everybody was on the best behavior.
Yeah, quite comforting to know that listeners are in there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, literally, there's maybe 150 people overall, and that's a pretty small sample for an entire county. And still, I know of at least three listeners that were there just in my little small part of that. Which was pretty cool. One of the guys that was a listener, unfortunately, got stuck on jury duty. And he's one of these, and he was a cool guy, so I'm not making fun of him or taking shots at him, but he's one of these big talker guys, you know, talks a lot.
Yeah.
I don't want to say big mouth, but big talker. And he was doing the big talker stuff throughout the whole thing, and he had people smiling and laughing, and he was kind of the center of the show. And he's like, man, I hope they don't pick me. I'm like, oh, they're going to pick you, cuz. Because you're out there. You're making yourself the star of the show. You're bringing attention to you. Mm-hmm. They're going to pick you. If he would have done like me, he would have got out of it. Because what I did is I acted like a six-year-old whose mom has him at Walmart and's had him there for 2 hours, and he just wants to go home. I'm just like, Jerry, I just want to go home. And so I did that whole thing like the entire time, and I could tell the lawyers were eyeballing me, and they're like, no, we don't want this guy on our jury. So I got caught loose, but it was incredibly awkward. It was boring, and then it got weird, and then it got awkward because, you know, they take you to the court. They line you up, and then they say, okay, we're going to the criminal court, which is over where the jail is. Mm-hmm. And so you go through there, and you have to go through security, and then you make your way up to courtroom. They make you stand in line. You feel like you're in jail. You really do, because you're following the directions of police the entire time. Mm-hmm. And we get in there, and there is two ladies, obviously attorneys. These turned out to be attorneys for the state. And then there's an older guy and a younger guy. They all look like attorneys. And the judge comes in, young lady. Very nice. And she says, thank you guys for being here. We're going to make this as painless as possible. Let me explain to you the case. And she goes, she starts reading. She's like, this case is about the sexual assault of a minor. And I'm like, oh no. Yes. Hell no. So she goes in to talk about how we are going to be deciding if this man, who was about my age, maybe a couple years younger, mm-hmm. whether or not he raped someone that was between the ages of 12 and 16.
Oh.
Mm.
Oh, man.
And then they say, and this defendant is right here in the room. He is in there with us.
What?
With his attorney. I didn't know this, but apparently if you're being charged with something, you get to be in the room while they pick the jury, which doesn't seem right. Like, no. Shouldn't they just let the lawyer handle that?
I don't think they should do that.
Because
intimidation.
Yeah, you get the guys eyeballing the jurors and everything else, which this guy wasn't, but it could happen. I mean, you got a murder case or something, and a psycho's in there eyeballing people.
There's also the reversal. What if the guy's innocent of whatever it is, and it's a heinous crime? They're a client. You know, and everybody's looking at him, you know.
Yeah, plus everybody, including myself, we're looking at the guy and we're thinking, yes, dude looks like a pedo, you know. We're all doing that. And you don't want us to draw that conclusion too early, no. All right? But the two ladies get up and they get to talking about kind of how this process is going to work and asking some general questions to figure out who's fit and who's not. And they ask if anybody knows anybody in the courtroom, you recognize anybody, have you ever been arrested, are you 19 years old or older, are you a U.S. citizen? But then she goes into, this is going to be a little personal, have you ever been or had someone close to you be the victim of sexual assault? And they go by section. Raise your hand if that's happened to you or somebody close to you. And each section had one or more people,
man,
with a story, which I think is very telling in the sense of this is more prolific than anybody understands. Like, because mm-hmm. there's so many cases that go unreported, maybe happened to somebody when they were super young that they don't remember, things of that nature. And so as they went to each person that had their hand raised, the stories got more graphic.
Oh.
The people telling them got more emotional. And I'm like, I got to get out of here, dude. This is too much. I just want to go to work and make fun of Ron DeSantis. But I'm in here having to listen to everybody's stories, which God bless them. It was horrible what they went through, but I'm like, I got to get out of here.
Wait, each person told their own story?
Yeah, or a story of someone close to them. Not every person, but everybody that raised their hand that said they had first or second hand experience with the section.
Did they have to talk?
They didn't have to, but they were encouraged to.
That doesn't seem right. You're encouraged to talk about if you've been raped or, say, your daughter.
It's because the lawyers, the attorneys need to know whether or not you can be on the jury and be unbiased. If you are the victim of a sexual assault, you would probably lean more in the direction of this guy's guilty, whether he's guilty or not. There was one lady that worked at some sort of women's crisis shelter where they deal with a lot of women that's victim of sexual assault.
Yeah.
And the attorney was like, well, do you think you could, make your judgment on the facts of this case and nothing else? And she's like, probably not, because in my line of work, we believe every woman that says she's been assaulted. Mm-hmm. And she's like, okay, that makes sense. Thanks for being honest. And so there was a couple of those. And it went through that whole thing, and then they got to the end, and they start. The way it works is each attorney, each side gets to strike a certain number of jurors, mm-hmm. like 7 and 7, 8 and 8. It just depends on how many people's in there, until they get down to 12. Before that, they get up and they make their pitch. The state's pitch was just kind of more explaining what was going to go on and asking the questions about sexual assault. The defense attorney gets up, and he's a big, tall, old guy, country boy, and he's like, listen here, you going to convict this man over some hearsay? You ain't got no bit of evidence, no panties, no nothing. And you're going to convict this man over one person's testimony. And the state attorneys are like, this dude went straight to his closing arguments. And we're all like, oh, God, what's going on here? And he just, by the time he got to the end of it, you're like, I mean, you make a valid point, but, we're not in trial yet.
I'm surprised they allowed that.
Yeah, the state attorneys started getting a little antsy on that front, and they were like, I don't know if they objected to one of them.
Well, now, did you get to tell an Uber story?
No, I did not. I was sexually assaulted by a midget, Your Honor, downtown Birmingham.
We had some pretty shocking Uber stories. Of course, I guess you couldn't say, well, I used to be an Uber driver, so I can't do it.
It would have been funny if I would have busted out the Mike the Midge story. Well, I had one guy show me his penis, and he didn't ask permission.
Come with us, sir.
He was a groomer.
He was a groomer, by the way. I got into that whole thing. One of the funniest things, and the state attorneys start cracking up. When the state attorneys were asking questions, they talked to loud guy, the big talker, and they were asking people if they ever watch shows, like Law and Order type shows. And he's like, yeah, I used to watch one all the time called Bull. And it's apparently most of the show Bull was jury selection. And I'd never seen the show. I never heard of it. But that's the way he explained it. He's like, but I stopped watching it. And he looks over to the guy beside him who's wearing a mask. He goes, I stopped watching it when? He goes, and this has nothing to do with you, brother. You just do what you want to do. He said, they started wearing masks on TV all the time, he's like, it just pissed me off. And I just quit watching. That's what I'm telling you. This guy's a big talker. So they kind of laugh or whatever. But then the Bull reference comes back around when Big Tall Country Boy gets up, defense attorney. Mm-hmm. And defense attorney's like, you hear all this talk about Bull? Well, I know Bull when I see it. And I'm sure you know Bull when you see it. And these charges are Bull.
Oh, God.
It was wild. It was wild. And so they go through all that, and then they go deliberate for like 30 minutes, and then they come back. I'm out in the corner of the hall, like, sneaking my vape. I'm like, looking around.
I've done that before.
And we go back in, and they're like, all right, each team's going to strike 7 jurors. Mm-hmm. Now, okay, great. But all I got to do is listen for my name, and I'm going to be out of here. And they say, all right, Your Honor. They go, State, go first. All right, Your Honor, I strike juror 474. And I'm like, who's that? And then, defense, it's your turn. Your Honor, I want to strike juror number 182. And then they go for what seems like an hour just saying numbers, and we're all just sitting there like, oh, my God, what number am I? Because nobody knows.
That's ridiculous. It's backwards.
And finally, at the end, they start picking people like one by one, and they're like, you go sit in the jury box. You in the jury box, come sit over here. And they're like just moving chairs at one point. And then at the end, they're like, all right, the people that are sitting in the jury box, you guys are on the trial, and the rest of y'all are out of here.
Oh, man, that's kind of like Survivor or something like that.
Oh, it was like a TV show. It was crazy. And it was gave me so much anxiety. A lot of interesting stories, though, when you hear people's backstory as far as like who they are, what they do. Are y'all familiar with the Wright workout equipment? Like Wright? You ever seen that?
Yeah.
The guy that created that was actually in there. He was so he's apparently from this area, and he was the
And I just want to say, I'll back you up. This is the only time I've ever known you to not want to do jury duty. I think you really would do it.
I did. I'd always wanted to do it, and it was like bad timing, bro. Especially, you know, we got this show. We got the radio show. Ron DeSantis had just dropped out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was already a little squishy on the idea just because we're in the thick of the primaries. But I've always, my entire life, I wanted to do jury duty. And that's why it pissed me off when that one dude texted in the show. And he's like, well, you're just a sorry excuse for an American. You don't want to do your civic duty. I'm like, dude, I'm going to do it.
So you mean the lawyer texted you?
No. This is one of our listeners.
Oh, you're doing... okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Just got confused.
Yeah, nothing like that. I'll tell you what, sir. You're a real piece of shit for not wanting to be here. No, I didn't get that.
I know bull when I see it.
No, it was... I don't know. I mean, it was a cool experience. I just get anxiety. Because, I mean, let's be honest. Last time I was out of work and I had to fill in, it didn't work out that well. So I'm a little protective of my show. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it makes sense. I never had a problem with jury duty, but I was self-employed for several years. And that's one thing, you know, you can't make a living and $25 a day ain't going to do it.
Right.
So I got out a couple times. It's not that I didn't want to do it, but I had to make money.
Yeah, because even in my Uber days, I would have probably been stressed out about missing a day of work. Because when I was doing Uber, and Tony remembers this, I was 7 days a week. Like, I never stopped. And it's hard to. When you're working for yourself and there's always jobs to be done, mm-hmm. It's hard for you to take a day off. Because if you sit at home, you're like, man, there's money out there just waiting on me.
No, you don't know when it's going to dry up either.
Right.
I've had an employee that had jury duty, and we paid him his full wage while he was gone. I think they're supposed to pay you.
They are. Technically, I didn't lose any money, but what happens in radio is I've got an obligation to our partners to advertise them. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, they sign contracts and everything else, and so... You know, you got to be there in order to do that. We got a system in place where I make it up for them and everything. And all of them are completely understanding. And even if I couldn't make them up, they would understand. You know, we're all friends. Like, like Tony here, you know, the guys at Noto or the TCW Construction, we're all like personal friends. So it's not that big a deal. But in another situation, for anybody else, if they are an independent contractor, mm-hmm. Uber's not going to pay you for jury duty because you have no salary. You're 100% based on what you do, and all Uber's got to say is, well, you just took the day off. It don't mean nothing to us. But in a normal job, they got to pay you.
Yeah, those jobs like servers that get the tips and stuff, I bet it's really hard for them to do jury duty. They get paycheck to paycheck already, and then you got that.
It's like, yeah, you go to jury duty. Oh, don't worry about it. We'll pay you your $2.17 an hour. Wait, can we not change that, by the way, for restaurant people? Like, give them a normal... And if they just happen to make a bunch of money from tips...
Good for them.
Like, if people want to tip them... I don't even think... People say, pay them good money or normal money, mm-hmm. and then tell people they don't have to tip. Maybe add it into the price of the food or whatever. Mm-hmm. I say, leave it as is. Pay them normal. And then... If they earn the tips or do a thing. I mean, half the time these servers have to split their tips with everybody else.
Yeah.
Or with the people in the back. Why don't you make it like, I don't know. I don't know. See, I'm not in the restaurant business, so I don't know like what's reasonable as far as money.
I've been there before. It's real tricky, and there's lots of different systems you can do. And you gotta now. It's a lot harder. Back then, when there was cash, it was a lot different. With all the credit cards now, everything gets reported, and then there's taxes, and it gets complicated.
And it costs money every time you swipe a card for the vendor or for the restaurant.
Right, and for employers too to record the taxes. To their employees, then they have to pay the extra FICA tax, I think 6.25%.
But is there money there to pay $13-$14 an hour? Is there money in a restaurant to pay servers that wage or no?
I think you would get a better quality worker if you got a lot of turnover because of this. It's going to affect your business. I mean, it's kind of like, do I need to replace my roof? Well, I mean, I guess it'll be all right. Whereas if you go ahead and invest, if you have the ability to invest now, it will pay off down the road.
I don't understand what you just said. What does that mean?
Well, I mean, I don't know. No. What I'm saying is, if you were to pay them instead of the $2.16 an hour,
right? Give them regular wage.
Yeah, give them regular wage. Then I think you would attract a better quality
employee.
Employee.
Yes, that is true. 100% true.
Yes, and then you can figure out what to do. You know, about the tips, and also, you know, you got some folks that go out when they can, and. You know, they've only got so much money, and they're like, "Well, I really need to tip." So, I mean, it affects everybody. I think it affects everybody in the world, really, if you think about it. I've never thought about it.
I'm waiting on you to take off your glasses and give a spiel.
No, I'm not passionate. I mean, I am. Don't get me wrong, but I'm not as passionate about this as I am on some other things.
I just wonder, and Tony, you probably know, like the money that a restaurant makes, do they have the money to pay servers that sort of hourly wage?
They only have as much money as the customer is willing to pay. So if they hired their staff at higher wages, it would therefore, on their bout, they'd have to raise their prices. It's just supply and demand.
Well, I mean, so maybe it's an idea to make that the norm, and it's going to be restaurant to restaurant. You're never going to be able to convince every restaurant to do this, but you could start a trend and say, "All right, so here's our rules. You come in, don't tip, because we're making sure that our servers are making decent money, and then that way." You understand why the food costs a little more.
And what you would have tipped can go to pay for the meal.
Yes. But genius. It's hard to pitch that in a day and age of inflation.
Yeah.
Because it's hard. And not to mention the restaurant down the street's going to be like, we ain't going to do that. We're working on tips. Also, does it decrease the value of your servers who now don't have that incentive to go the extra mile at each table? Like, a server may give more of an effort if they think there's the potential for a big tip. You know, so there's that question out there. And not to mean they're a bad worker or whatever, but incentives tend to cause people's performance to be accelerated or to be better.
Well, why don't you just do this? You pay them more. You get rid of, like, dishwashers and things. And at the end of their shift, they have to wash the dishes that they served. How about that?
Well, yeah, but I mean,
that's not real cost effective. I've been in the restaurant business. It's like a machine.
Do you have time to do that, though? Like, you got to keep serving. Do you have enough dishes to make it through the night before you're done and you go in there and wash dishes?
See, that would be a problem, because when people are clocking out after their shifts, counting their money, and then they have to go do dishes at the same time after dinner, it's going to be a cluster back there, and it won't be an efficient thing to do.
Okay, I've got it. Okay, how about this? All right, here's what you do. You make this a really, you promote it as like, this is the hot place to be, right? And then you have great food, but then what you do, this is so cool, you wash your own dishes.
maybe things are the way they are for a reason. And the more I think about it, the more I'm like, they probably operate in this fashion because that's the most effective way to operate.
Yeah, but let's say you can get a plate of, you know, fettuccine Alfredo with shrimp, and instead of paying $30, you're paying $17. And then all you have to do is take that few minutes to wash your dishes. And you can have these really fancy, you know, like several sinks side by side, but they could be different designs. Like one is kind of a farmhouse sink, you know, and another one's like a modern, it's made of glass, you know, like that. Now that would be cool.
There's a health department that would probably have a problem with that.
And what happens when somebody's lazy and they don't efficiently wash the dishes? Do you make them go back?
Yes, they're not allowed to leave.
You would have to train every customer like to do the dishes.
You
got to
make sure they do them right.
And then they'd have to check the pH after each person doing them.
And if you're going to a restaurant where it's $30 for shrimp fettuccine, I think it's probably a high-end place, and washing dishes would probably kill the mood for somebody going somewhere where it's a $30 fettuccine.
Yeah. I mean, it's a nice approach, though. Nobody's really tried it.
Yeah, exactly. Or you could do something like, let's say you pick, you got a family that goes, and you pick someone out of your family to sacrifice themselves. We'll call the restaurant Sacrifice. Okay. Now, I don't mean they kill themselves.
How appealing.
But what you do is you vote on who will have to be a greeter during the time you're eating, so they're not allowed to eat.
A greeter or a server?
No, a greeter. See, I mean, that's simple. You just, hey, how's all right doing? Yeah. But they don't get to eat.
Right.
What do you think? Sacrifice.
Does a greeter seat people initially?
Yes.
Okay.
And see, there wouldn't be any health violations or anything for that. You call it Sacrifice.
Sacrifice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
Boy, it's been a long day. Why don't we go Sacrifice? relax and sacrifice.
You got that lazy 20-something that lives in the basement that's playing all the time. It's like, hey, let's go get some new. Sure, dude, that'd be awesome. We're going to Sacrifice. You're not eating. You're going to be a greeter.
Maybe good ways to get your kids into the workforce, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, here's what. If we ever get big enough where we have our own restaurant, we should do something like that. We'll just call it the test run. And so we'll implement these ideas and see if it works. You remember when Rick and Bubba had their own restaurant?
Yes.
Do you remember that?
I do.
Tony, will you Google the Rick and Bubba restaurant? It was back in the 90s, right? Late 90s?
Yeah, or early 2000s. And it was like, it was a burger joint.
Yeah, I think so. The Rick and Bubba restaurant. Look at that. Up in the Google. Hit the images tabs. See what it says. Maybe that first one. Is that it? Nah, go back. Hey, maybe that's where they opened it. You can see.
How about the red there? The one in the second row? Yeah.
Rick and Bubba's Big Honkin' Book of Green. They got a cookbook. I saw a menu up there. Anyway, I remembered something. Just go back to the... Oh, there you go.
God Country.
Oh, that's a best of CD. Yeah. Rick and Bubba has done everything. Hit the back button and look at the websites that it popped up initially. What does it say? Is there a video? Rick and Bubba's favorite casserole. No, there's not a video. Don't bring your dog to a restaurant. Maybe that's another idea. Make a restaurant where you do bring your pets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pet friendly.
Pet friendly restaurant.
And you know what we could do is we could, the local theater department, or I know UAB has a theater department. What you could do is you could get, and actors obviously are required to be, are required to be waiters and waitresses. In between jobs. Same thing with musicians. Only musicians do construction work. Okay, so here's what you do. You train the workers and, like, for instance, you don't know which worker you're going to get. Okay? So your server comes up, and he's constantly, or she, sorry, are constantly coming back to ask how the food is. I mean, every 30 seconds. And like, how's that food, sir? Is that good? You know, and maybe even take it so far as to say, So that steak doesn't look, let me have that. Let me go get you another steak. That'd be real, you know, real bothersome. And another one wouldn't care. You know, they're just kind of like throwing the plates down. Like, yes, this is undercooked. I'm like, it's not my problem. What do you think?
So let's do this. Let's just take maybe.
Why don't we just go to Chubb Father's, have a cheeseburger, and call it a day?
What if Will would let us take over Chubb Father's for one day? Not to, like, we'll pick a day. I think he's closed on Sundays right now, right?
Yeah, he's closed.
So ask him if we can use Chubb Father's on a Sunday. And we don't ruin his reputation. We'll invite friends and family, maybe the people from the station, or maybe even podcast listeners.
Sponsors.
And we run the restaurant in the way that we're talking about right now.
No.
What do you think?
We can't have dog. No.
Well, I mean, we can't do the dogs, but we can do the rude and the. It's like the opposite. You've got the rude, and then you've got the one that's trying to please. I like that.
Well, and the rude one is the one that tells them to go wash their own dishes.
Yes.
Maybe not sponsors. Maybe we don't bring them to this, but just friends and family.
But think about it. In Japan, this would be huge.
Yeah.
I saw stuff like that.
I saw a video the other day, and it showed how they wash dishes at restaurants in Japan, and they don't wash or they don't hand wash them. They've got this conveyor belt, and it's just pew, 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 and this machine washes them and puts them out on the other side.
Man.
Like, I know restaurants here, we've got the big industrial machine. You put it in the tray, stick it in there, and close it. But no, this thing was like a machine all the way from start to finish. You just throw the plates in there.
Then Japanese are really smart.
Yeah, Japanese are wild.
They are.
Super smart.
Yeah. I mean, I'm impressed by them.
By who?
The Japanese.
The Japanese.
Yes.
Okay. There is, you're talking.
What'd you do with Japanese? I'm sorry, I couldn't let that go. Young lady, what'd you do with Japanese?
So bad.
Oh, man.
I'm tired. I'm sorry.
Hey, I ain't heard one that good since, oh, the humanity. Oh, that one was good.
Yeah,
Every time I hear that, that was funny. Yeah. You remember that, Tony?
Yeah, I remember that one.
Hugh the manatee.
Yeah.
Did you hear the animals are friends story we did today?
The rat race or the rat running?
No, with the cannibalistic
man.
Oh yeah,
marsupial.
Yeah,
yeah.
And at the end of the story, it's like, this is not the first time animals have died from having sex. They said in 2022, bunch of honeybees died after a Canadian heat wave where they ejaculated themselves to death.
Oh,
I'm like,
that's
wow,
awful.
That sounds like a sticky situation. Because
that's some serious pollinization going on there.
Don't go over my car.
Yeah, Joe, that's the weirdest bird shit I've ever seen in my life. Wow, that was weird.
The animal kingdom.
But about restaurants where they're rude to you.
Mm-hmm.
We tried to do this on the show. Tony, will you look up, what was the, go to YouTube and do Dick's Last Resort. Was that it?
Yeah, I know what it is. They're sarcastic towards you.
Yeah, it's a restaurant where they're absolute jerks. They put a hat on you and write something real offensive on the hat. And we were going to play it on the show, but we couldn't because it was too vulgar.
Yeah.
We had to cut it off. I don't know that I could handle going to this place. And we get criticism. Because we're on the radio, and we don't have a lot of haters, but we got a handful that just, they say really ugly things, but it's usually from behind a keyboard. But to have somebody, especially someplace you're spending money, come be a real dick to you.
Hey, they buy gold.
Nah, it's probably their neighbor.
Oh, that's the neighbor.
So, yeah, look at YouTube and see if you can find a video of some, like, an example of that restaurant.
I wonder if they ever break character. You know, or are they just
the videos I've
seen? Are
they
just horrible people? That they
yeah, they might be. The videos I've seen, they stay in character. Like, I don't see them kind of cracking a smile or nothing. They're just straight D heads the whole way through.
Well, I got them muted. Hold on.
He's got a Lowe's.
Here we go.
Thing around his waist for his tools.
His second job. Dick's is his second job.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Grilled sirloin. How you want that cooked? Medium rare. All right. What are the sides?
It might be undersized. It might be undersized.
How do you not know the fucking
size? It might be undersized.
Where?
It just might be.
Okay. I actually can't fucking
I actually don't do this shit.
But he was the one, the customer was the one being a jerk. See if there's a full YouTube video real quick instead of a
I wonder
short
if they let him slap him or something like that. Where yeah, the you server would slap.
Well, you got to think, like, there's got to be people that go in there that don't realize what it is.
Just how
yeah,
bad
instead
it
of
is.
Doing, oh, yeah, that one will work. You can do
this
that one.
One.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's try this. I'd like a Diet Coke. I'd love to get you one, and we'll shut you up. What do you want?
Can I get some pizza?
You're like 35. The kids' menu is 8 and under.
You should have something on the adult menu.
Oh, my God. Do I look like I'm in charge of anything? All right, that's fine. You know what? Fine. You want to cheap out? That's cool. What are you drinking? What are you drinking? What are you drinking? What are you drinking?
Oh, I love it.
Your lemonade is going to be this big because you're ordering off the kids' menu, and I'm not refilling it for you. What do you want?
That woman's married.
What?
You think so?
Yeah.
Weird. Off the regular menu or the baby menu?
Baby 7.
All right, enjoy your ridiculously tiny hamburger. What are you drinking? Whatever. You. What? Great. Drink. Cheap. You. What are you getting?
She's good.
Off the baby menu? Well, that's fine. Let's save you money so you can figure out how to leave me a decent tip, okay? Because right now I have no prayer at all.
So far, you're not earning one.
You know what, Grandpa? If I was nice to you, I'd get canned, okay? If you want good service, you go somewhere else. I know Hooters is probably more your speed. You came here on purpose. You used that line already, and it wasn't funny before.
What? Well, you didn't
what are you drinking?
Soda.
A little more specific, genius. Great. Dad, what do you want?
Taco platter.
Tacos? You want chicken or beef?
Chicken.
And toilet water for you. Anything for the little one?
No, she's going to eat scraps.
Great. That's a big waste of space. What do you want?
I'm going to have a three-way bowl of chili.
Is that all you're eating?
Yeah, the strawberry shake.
Three-way bowl of heartburn, strawberry shake. All right, pass all the grown-up menus down.
You
what?
Spaghetti.
Do I have spaghetti? Did you see it anywhere on the menu?
I didn't even look. I'm
yeah, that's because we don't have it, okay? You're at a place that gives out paper hats. You want spaghetti? Go to an Italian restaurant, okay? yeah, that's because we get it from Gino's because we own the building.
Man.
What's the name of this place?
I feel like Grandpa wasn't getting it. I don't understand what people are being so mean to me.
Why are they so mean? Was,
that's crazy. I've got a family friend who didn't know what Hooters was, and I think they were on vacation, and they took themselves and their kids to Hooters.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like,
come on, come on.
Why are they dressed like that? Oh, they were tiny kids. Like they were, you know, probably 4 and 5 years old.
Oops.
And they had no idea. They just thought, oh, it's an owl.
Oh, my God.
This is a long, long time ago, though.
Well, you know, I actually went to a restaurant like the one we were just looking at last year, and it was a regular fast food restaurant. I mean, they were absolutely horrific.
What was the name of it?
Well, I can't say.
Why?
Well, because I don't want to get hard. I mean, I don't want to get anybody in trouble.
You don't want to get hard what?
No, that's not.
Wait, okay. Now listen. Are they a sponsor?
No.
Well, then who are you going to get in trouble?
Well, it's hard for me to talk about them.
I don't.
It
get
puts
what
me
you
at
mean.
Ease. So when I talk about them, it's hard, but it puts me at ease. Huh, Tony? Come on.
I'm so lost right now.
I am
now.
Too. I have no idea. It's,
okay.
Two words. Oh, two we're going to do charades. Yeah. Okay. All right. Two words.
Okay. Things in my life right now are very hard. I need something to put me at ease.
Xanax.
No. You don't take it literally. Within the sentences that I'm saying are the two syllables. All right. Listen again.
Okay.
Things in my life right now are very hard. I wish I could be put at ease.
It's Hardee's.
Yeah, you got it.
That was a horrible. That was a horrible charade.
Really?
Okay, so Hardee's. Why were you afraid to tell us you had bad service at Hardee's?
Well, I used to work there.
Was that when you got the bad service?
No, I was like 18 or 19 when I worked there.
Okay, and how long?
That was my first job at 16, actually.
I've always loved Hardee's. When was the bad service?
Well, it was last year, but I'll tell you, Hardee's used to be back when they had the polyester outfits, which were awful, though itchy. Yeah, I worked my way up to night manager, and there was something I liked to do as a night manager.
Oh, God.
I would make a special sandwich. I would have hamburger, cheese, hamburger, chicken, breast, cheese, hot ham and cheese, and a hot dog, and another bun on top.
Uh-uh.
Yes.
What? That's ridiculous.
I mean, I could have gotten probably thrown in jail for it, but I had one every night. It was delicious.
That is a food crime.
Yeah. I know. I mean, I was a horrible night manager. I'd just be walking, I'm hungry.
And I think we've all worked in fast food before. I've done Taco Bell. I've done McDonald's. Is there another fast food place? I think that was the only two. I think I did a stint at Pasquale's, mm-hmm. all in high school and maybe right after high school. Taco Bell was fun. McDonald's was fun to an extent, but there was always something like that wasn't on the menu that you'd make for yourself. Like mm-hmm. at McDonald's, something about McDonald's cheese is like, I don't know about now, but back in the day it was like crack, and I don't know why.
Chemical.
You'd take, yes, the chemicals were delicious. You'd take a chicken nugget and you just take a slice of cheese and wrap it around that chicken nugget and just so good.
Ooh, I like that idea.
Taco Bell, same thing. We'd kind of make specialty, you know, gorditas or chalupas or whatever. Now, with Hardee's, I always loved Hardee's food. Always loved their breakfast. We used I used to work with a guy and he'd go get us Hardee's every morning. And we would always get a chicken biscuit with mayonnaise on the side and put the mayonnaise. We call it a chiz biz with Miz. And I know that sounds crazy to have mayonnaise on a biscuit, but it was so good.
No, I mean, I've done that with a chicken biscuit. I actually, when I switched to mornings, I was the little old lady that made the biscuits from scratch.
Oh, I remember those people.
I got to wear a little hairnet and thing, and I mean, they made it from scratch. It was like you pour it in. And
do you think people would come by and see you and be like, "No, this Hardee's is sus," because it would always be an old lady back there doing it?
Well, no, I mean they're like, "Hey, man, that guy's so cool."
Yeah, that's one ugly old lady.
Yeah, no, I mean look at that mullet. That is awesome, and there's three hoops in his ear. He must be a musician.
Did you used to wear earrings?
Oh yeah,
really.
Yeah, in the early 80s, I used fishing hooks because that was the style of music that we did.
Fish, like actual fishing hooks.
Yeah, in our ears. The problem was they got infected a lot. So
I would imagine.
I stopped doing that, and then I went with the three little hoops, and even all the way up until I got married, I wore three little hoops.
Wow.
I think about going back to it. Not three hoops, but just, you know, with one hoop. The problem is, I damaged my left ear so much I can't feel my earlobe. I can just like pinch it. I could take a pair of pliers and just twist it.
How did you damage your earlobe?
Well, the stuff I stuck in the holes.
Oh, it's from
infected.
The...
Yeah, it still every once in a while get infected. And that's like 40 years later. Mm. And but the worst part was last year I decided, you know, I'm going to, you know. So I got me a little kit to pierce my own ear.
It sounds like an awful idea.
Yeah, I decided, you know, I mean, I'd put it off, and I said, well, I'm going to go ahead and do it. And, I mean, it was this wicked-looking needle. It was kind of thick, and it had a hole in the middle where it would just, like, drill out, you know, the little piece of meat in my ear. So, I did the ice and all that stuff, and I cleaned it. And right as I was doing it, my hand slipped. And I jabbed it all the way through, like, the very bottom of my ear. So I had to pull it out and wait for it to heal. So I don't know if I'm going to go back to it.
Yeah.
Because I was like way off target.
How did
like,
we get here from Hardee's?
Oh, I had to hide my first earring because the manager said that, and I found out later she was joking, she would fire me if she saw me with an earring. So, okay. You know, I was when I got my earring, I was like, oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? So I took makeup and put it around the earring. And, you know, and she didn't find out, but it got infected.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was really rough on my left earlobe.
You can't do that now. You can't tell somebody, you know, you can't have an earring. I mean, some places you can, but places like fast food, like it's so hard to get workers that
now, see,
you can't.
You can't when I worked for Papa John's, we had a girl get her hoop earring caught in a broomstick.
Oh, okay. Oh,
I could tell you all about it.
Oh man, that's awful.
Yeah,
I'm actually
set a new policy.
I'm looking for, and because I got my Facebook deleted or banned, I'm having to go back far. But I used to wear earrings back in the day.
Really?
When P. Diddy was really little, yeah, I did.
Both ears?
Yeah, both ears.
Nice.
I had hoops.
Samuel Jackson. There.
And I had some. what was it?
Sick of these snakes.
Yeah. I had. I did the horseshoes a lot as well. You know, it's just a horseshoe with the balls on the end.
I've done that.
I have to go back, man, way far to find that. And I was, that was in my, like, 360-pound days, like, when I was a real biggin. That's hard to believe. That's over 100 pounds ago.
Gosh.
But it's also over a decade ago when I was that big.
Yeah, that's over my girlfriend total size ago.
Wait, what?
You lost 100 pounds. She's around 100 pounds.
Oh, your girlfriend.
Yes, the equivalent of a person.
Yeah.
You lost. And then you think about all that was on your joints and all that.
And I didn't even care back then. Like, I would eat a chiz biz with Miz 20 times a day.
All about
like,
the taste, man.
Yeah.
I didn't worry about it. I was drinking whiskey, you know, a pint of whiskey every night with a four-pack of Tall Boy Sparks. Do you remember Sparks?
Mm-mm.
It was like an energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was an energy beer.
Oh,
it was like orange flavored. It was like a Red Bull with alcohol in it. And I was drinking four of them a night. It's wonder I didn't have a heart attack.
It was actually pretty good. I used to drink Sparks 2007.
They were great. I loved them.
I can't do that. I can't do stuff like that with my Adderall. Because, I mean, I get real freaked out. I run around in circles, piss myself, and pass out.
What's the status on your Adderall deal? Are you still cutting them in half?
No. I couldn't cut them in half.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Today was my last one, but in John Bird fashion, I was reaching into my console to get out a cable to charge my phone.
Oh no!
And I grabbed a prescription. I still had a month left.
Oh, God.
And, you know, I was like, oh, my gosh. I mean, it's pathetic.
That is
pathetic.
Well,
I mean, the good thing is after the podcast, I'm going to go, you know, fill the prescription. But, I mean, I was clueless. And I had looked in there before, and I was like, oh, no, what am I going to do?
Andrew, we got to make sure he goes straight there
after
this podcast.
Yeah, for real. I had somebody text the show, and they said something along the lines of, John Bird's doing really well for somebody that doesn't have their Adderall.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like,
that's a good point. I'd skipped a couple of days to stretch it out.
I'm trying to. I'm about to email you, Tony, a couple pictures of me with earrings, just so y'all can see. God, it's crazy, man. I'm looking at some of these old pictures from like 2014, and I'm wearing shirts that are still in my closet. That's wild. Hold on, I'm almost there. I had to go back so far.
Send them to me too. I want to see him.
Yeah, let's do that. I'm just looking. I'm trying to not be too unflattering.
One thing, like John Bird and his Adderall, there's so many people out there that are so dependent on pills right now. It's
absolutely
unbelievable.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, and the more I think about it, the more I'm like, I'm getting more wishy-washy on the doctor, and because I think about if you've got an issue and you go to the doctor and they just put you on a bunch of pills and stuff, and it's like, is that really helping you, or is it just kind of keeping you where you're at?
We need Rhonda Dial here.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I do have my pharmaceutical set. and I've got my natural set. And Rhonda told me, well, okay, but you have to allow at least 2 hours in between taking those because they can fight each other if you're not careful.
What do you mean fight each other?
Well, let's say you're taking a pharmaceutical for anxiety, and you're also taking a natural for anxiety.
Yeah, I already know what he's talking about because I know John. He's probably talking about St. John's warts. Is that one of
yes.
the two?
Yes,
I already
You've
know.
Got St. John's warts?
Not warts. St. John's wort, W-O-R-T.
It's a natural remedy that's and supposed to help anxiety. We're not doctors.
I mean, it really does. And ashwagandha, I take that.
Yep.
I thought you had warts that they named after you. And that was what you were saying.
No, I'm no saint. Good grief. I'm certainly no saint.
Okay, I got your pictures now I'm sending, Tony. I just had all to go right. through
Send
so
them to
many
me, too.
I will. You're going to see them on the screen.
Oh, that's right. Duh.
You're on the podcast with us. You remember that, right?
Oh, my. Hey, everybody. I would have been looking at the camera sooner.
All right.
Oh, my God.
Sometimes we forget we're doing a show.
It really do. which actually makes the show better, I mean, if we're being honest. All right, so Tony, let me email you. I'm going to send this to tony@gump.com. We'll label it pics. We'll do insert. It's so hard to...
You just told everybody my email.
In case they want to talk to you.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's tony@tonygump.com. What?
it's tony@gump.com.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so... Actual size. All right. See if those come through. Hope they do. They always kick me to your spam for some reason.
Tony@gump.com?
Man, that's not the real email. Are you needing his email?
Oh, no. Tony@gump.com.
Yeah.
I'm okay. More of a .net guy.
So, I sent you a baby picture of me. You're going to love it.
All right, here's pictures of me with my earrings. Check this out.
Okay, one second.
Oh, those look cool, man. I'm digging that.
Yeah, it doesn't look bad.
No.
So that's, this picture right here, this is, do you recognize that? Go back one, Tony. Do you recognize that picture? That is where you and I recorded a commercial today. I had a friend, this was in 2014.
Oh.
This is in 2014, and that was probably like 2012, maybe even earlier than that, maybe in 2010. And I wanted to be in radio so bad, but nobody gave me a shot. My buddy started dating a girl who was, I don't know if she's an intern or what, on Rock 99.5. And she's like, yeah, if y'all want to come up here. It was like on a Saturday. Nobody was there. And showed us around. I was in heaven. I was like, oh, take a picture of me. I'm going to pretend like I'm on the radio. Look at me. I'm acting like I'm doing something. We still got those same mics in there.
Yeah.
And that was circa 20, let's see, 2012, yeah.
Oh, they go back a lot further than that.
Anyway, that's me. You see, I got the earrings on. I thought I was Mr. Cool Guy. There's more earrings. I look kind of buff there, but I'm just fat.
Yeah.
There's more earring pictures.
Tell you what, I like your rings, man. You got really good taste.
Should I go back with them, you think?
Yeah, let's do it.
Do it together?
Yeah, I'll do yours and you do mine.
I'm okay, sorry, not going to do that.
As long as you guys are talking about rings.
Tony, show my baby picture. That was so cute.
Oh, yeah, show his baby picture. And at that point, once we see this, we'll get out of here. You got it, Tony. You got it. It hadn't come through yet.
Yeah, I haven't got it yet.
Look at your spam junk.
See
if you hit refresh. Maybe it'll pop up if you refresh
it. Yeah, I put it up.
Let me see what email you sent it to.
I sent it to.
Show me. Literally, show me what email you sent it to. Because I bet you didn't send it to the right one.
I most certainly did. Okay, here it is right here.
I got it now.
Oh, he got it. See?
Oh, my God.
This is just...
That's me when I was a baby.
Okay.
That was so cute. Mm. Had a problem with hair. Even my eyesight back then was really bad.
Yeah.
I'm just glad you tucked it in.
Yeah, good thing you did that.
Those were the days.
You look comfortable.
I was a good child, but my mom didn't show me, I think, the attention and love that she should have. When I started shaving around 3,
yeah,
it's like she would show me love and attention, but when it started growing out.
Yeah, it's probably weird for her, I would imagine.
Yeah, we all suffer from different afflictions, and just my baby hair is different than most.
Yeah, it sure is.
The interesting thing is I really can't grow a beard like that anymore. Isn't that strange?
It's strange.
Like that Benjamin Button thing, but with hair.
You're getting younger. You're getting younger.
You think that's what it is? I don't feel younger.
No, you don't act younger. Well, no, you do act younger.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Now, do I act younger or do I act immature? There's a difference.
I don't think there's a difference. But people know us, and that's why they like us, right?
Yeah.
It's not a big deal. Tony Gump, you got any final words before we get out of here?
No, just stay safe, and I'm interested to see what happens in New Hampshire tonight.
Yeah, if you're watching this on the backside, then this is irrelevant. But for those of you watching now, we are going to be going live 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, covering the New Hampshire primaries. As the results come in, we expect you to be here with us. John Byrd, final words.
Goo goo gaga. Go Nikki Haley. Woo! Now I'm just joking. Trump forever.
Trump forever, baby. Trump forever. Till next time. Ow! Circus!